the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Now I am. Whole hog.
Whole hog. Whole hog's overrated, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, it sounds good. Oh, whole hog barbecue. Eh, usually dry.
What? Well, why?
Well, it's because you got meat coming from all parts of the pig. You know, some of those parts aren't great.
That's a great way to describe an orgy.
Yeah.
Well, I got meat coming from all parts of this pig. What a horrible gangbang. Brazzers presents meat coming from all parts of this pig.
Gross. Fucking gross. What's going on, dude?
Nothing, man. I'm leaving tonight.
Yeah?
I've been shredding. Shredding a lot.
What you been doing?
Legs are beat.
Yeah?
Three rides, 3 days.
Really?
Beat down. Got the Power Volt massage gun. Ooh. Not a sponsor, by the way.
Oh, yeah. But how's that going?
It's the best.
Oh, man.
They're not, I mean, it wasn't cheap, but man, to have one of those in the house, like massage chairs seem opulent, you know, but having the gun, and if you have a someone you can trust to, mm-hmm. to hit your back with it when you need it.
Mm.
But yeah, dude, I was just out
trying
to live life before I go back and catch a fucking disease in the airport.
Yeah, you flying out tonight? Where tonight, are you flying to?
Oh, Vermont.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people hit me up offering me cheese, which I appreciate. Hey, man, give you some of that cheese? I'm like, yeah. Unless it's code. Unless I'm stocking up on a lot of drugs. I think just that Vermont cheddar. That's what they're known for.
That old Kumail joke. Cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Cheese is doing the heavy lifting.
It's heroin.
Heroin's doing the heavy
codeine.
Lifting. Yeah.
It's heroin.
It's heroin.
It's mostly heroin. You're doing heroin.
Oh, man. Well, that's cool, Vermont.
Yeah, well, I just saw they got a coronavirus, like somebody who was doing the screening at the airport from inbound flights from China at LAX tested positive for coronavirus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's here.
Which means, like, it's so the person testing for it tested positive. Who did they get it from? Then they got it from somebody that they didn't find.
Well, if the tester catches it, then we're all doomed.
Who watches the watchmen? I've been saying that in for anything. I didn't see the show.
Speaking of which, coronavirus update, 3,200 dead worldwide, 11 dead in the United States. Do you remember a few weeks ago, it was like 3 or 4 weeks ago, we first started talking about this. I can't remember specifically, but I think my first report was like, there's 80 dead worldwide.
Yeah.
Now it's up to 3,200 just a few weeks later. So are you're seriously concerned about it now with as much as you travel?
I mean, it's on my mind.
Mm-hmm. You're going to wear a mask on the plane?
I tried last time I went out, and it's just you're just blowing your own bad breath up your nose, and it's hot. And I guess the mask is not what does it because it's more the washing your hands, like everybody's saying, wash your hands.
Do you wash your hands?
Because then you touch your face. I mean, yeah, I wash them when I go to the bathroom. And now you got to carry on Purell, which they say people are running out of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's gnarly, dude. You got to wipe shit down when you get on the plane. Take wet wipes. Wipe down public surfaces.
When I first started working the road years ago, I used to have this. And I've never been really a hypochondriac or anything like that, but I used to have this whole ritual every time I check into a motel room because they were back then and even still now.
Oh, man.
Majority motels.
I don't hear about,
but I would.
I know they're bad and I hate when people point out.
Yeah. I would travel with a can of Lysol spray. I'd spray the toilet and the sink, the door handles. Then I'd always bring my own pillowcase. And if I didn't have a pillowcase, I'd just use an old t-shirt because I didn't trust their pillowcases.
Yeah. Fuck hotels. I don't want to think about it, man. You ever think, like, if you get to a point where, like, we're 43.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it was a good run.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not in a morbid way.
I think about that all the time.
If shit went down, I would hope I would be able to lock into a perspective of gratitude.
Yeah.
as opposed to, oh, it's so much love. Yeah, but man, I did it.
Yeah, no, I think about that all the time. I'm probably going to die of a heart attack at 49.
Well, all right, let's not go. That Nostradamus episode hit you a little too hard.
Yeah, I think about that a lot. How's life? Taking forever.
Is it the Stanhope bit about suicide? He's like, life just isn't everybody's thing.
Well, because once you get our age, it's not necessarily that your dreams die or anything, but like, what's going to happen moving forward that I haven't experienced? Like, what surprises are around the bend?
There's a lot. No, there's a lot. But there's also a lot more to look back on with perspective. Whereas 20, you're not like, oh, man, in my teen years, he's like, you're only looking forward. And even in your 30s, you're still like, hell yeah, I'm looking forward. Man, I partied a lot in my 20s, but you're still partying. Now it's like, all right, everybody's slowing down.
Yeah.
Settling down, and you have a little more perspective on things because you have more experience in life. But I don't know. I mean, this is a death acceptance. It's a whole movement.
Yeah.
There's a, I talked about the couple of books that I read by Caitlin Doughty. She's got one. She was like, she's a mortician, and it was, her whole movement is like, just like every single person is going to die.
Yeah.
Every single person. And the fact that we just don't talk about it, you can't. If you talk about it, you'll jinx it. Mm-hmm. It's not a jinx. It's the truth.
Yeah.
It'll happen. So I don't see any problem with being nonchalant about it.
I only hope that my death comes swiftly.
Yeah, I wouldn't want a long one.
No. We'll get hit by a train.
You don't want a long, drawn out, miserable death.
No. Get hit by a train, eaten by a mountain lion. That'd be pretty cool.
I don't think eaten by a mountain lion is swift.
Eh, they go for your jugular. You know, I mean, it'd take them a while to eat you, but you would die pretty quick, I think.
Oh,
I don't know how I get
started. What situation are you in where you live in Long Beach, dude? Where are mountain lions coming to get you?
Griffith Park.
There's one, and I think it died.
Why do you think that?
They said a P90X or whatever the main mountain lion was died. What?
Oh, they think he died? Or they know found, he died?
I'm going to look it up.
Huh.
We saw one on a bike ride.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't see it. My buddy Kevin was in front of me, and all of a sudden he's like, "Did you see that thing?" I'm like, "No." He's like, "I don't know. It was big." Wow. And it ran up there. I mean, I've seen bobcats. I haven't seen a mountain lion.
Yeah.
I've seen bears. It might have been a bear.
Not afraid of a bobcat. I tell you the story when me and Ryan Singer saw one. He ran the other way, and I walked towards it. I was just wanted to get a better look.
Yeah, that's that's not going to. P-22.
That's a lot easier than P-90X.
Wildlife officials say Griffith Park's lone mountain lion, P-22, is doing well after health check. Oh, I thought he died. I didn't see the end of the title on Google. I had to wait for the article to come up. Oh, all right. Okay, good deal. He's out there somewhere. Old P-22. 118 pounds is a year ago. 118 pounds. 9 to 10 years old.
I wonder how long they live.
Just one. What a lonely life.
Yeah, poor guy. Or is it a gal? Do we know?
They say he, but you know, nowadays.
That's true.
Did we ask the mountain lion? What a terrible
I still
joke.
Can't get used to the pronoun thing. I know I'm changing gears here, but I saw somebody talking about, I saw a tweet in reference to someone, I guess, who uses the they or they.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a typo because they were like, we're talking to this person. And then they kept using their podcast and their, and I'm like, who the fuck else you talking about? And then I was like, oh, right.
Yeah, I've been on stand-up shows like, they are. I'm like, oh, a double act.
Yeah.
What is it, the Sklar Brothers? And it's just one person?
Yeah, it's just hard. Yeah, and that's fine.
No, it's just to me, it's just a grammar issue.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard for me to adjust to.
It's hard to be a grammar Nazi.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, well... We can't have them.
I thought it was just poor writing.
I was a regular Nazi. No, because I don't want them. It's all went south.
What else going on, man? Did you vote?
Yeah.
On the
I mailed it in too. I don't want the fucking sticker. I don't want the lines. Uh-huh. I don't want the pats on the back.
It's so easy. The mailing thing was just so easy.
Yeah.
I don't know why are people standing in line for 4 hours in California? I didn't understand that.
I mean, I don't know why anybody wouldn't get the mail-in option.
Man, and
maybe they don't trust it. I don't know.
I know we don't do a lot of politics here, and I don't like being political, but man, I just don't like Joe Biden. The thought of him versus Trump, it's like, what, a pile of diarrhea or a pile of vomit? Which one? Like, he just is so unlikable. I just don't like his personality.
He's leaps and bounds better than Trump.
Is he?
Yes.
Okay, I mean, I hope so.
Yes.
I get the blue no matter who, but, like, he still sucks. Like, he's a creep. And I know, say what you want to about Bernie, but at least Bernie was telling you what he's going to do. I feel like most, especially Biden, it's just a bunch of platitudes and doublespeak. Like, what the fuck is your plan?
It's a politician.
Yeah. And again, here's the thing. I don't know. I'll probably get in trouble with this. I don't understand. Okay. And keep in mind, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Okay. But I did a little bit of research. And apparently Biden, back in the day, was a staunch defender of segregation, but yet the African-American population votes for him. He used to give speeches about about busing, and there's a quote about it's going to turn these schools into an urban jungle, and he didn't want busing, he didn't want segregation, like, but yet he does so well with the African-American vote, and I get, like, okay, he was Obama's vice president, but maybe dig a little deeper than just he was Obama's vice president.
It was about busing in people.
Mm-hmm. That just seems weird that any time in the last 50 years someone would, you know, defend segregation.
I think it's deeper than that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still not great, but I don't think it's like it's a separate but equal situation.
I don't know, all those allegations of.
I don't know, man. I got jury duty notice the same day that was Super Tuesday.
Oh, really?
I'm like, man, that's the joke that nobody ever laughed, but like about how everybody has such a hard on for voting. Like, it's your civic responsibility. And then if you give a person a jury duty notice, they're like, God damn it.
Yeah.
I'm saying the word.
It's your civic
responsibility. I'm saying the word to get out of this. Like, oh, why one? Oh, because when one's inconvenient, you don't like your civic responsibility.
Well, and I never bought into that.
When you get a sticker and a free donut or whatever the fuck.
I never bought into that. You got to vote. No matter who you vote for, you got to vote. Well, what if you're voting for a shithead?
Well, that was my whole – the last election cycle when it was just every celebrity, like, it's just important that you vote. No, tell me who you want me to vote for because that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
You don't – you just have to vote. Cool, I'm going to vote for Trump. Now you're not happy.
Yeah.
Now you're not happy that I'm going to vote.
Yeah.
Don't – I live here, and we're talking politics out our ass as much as I think everybody else talks politics out their ass. Mm-hmm. And that's fucking whatever, man. I'm so sick of it. I got all my no soliciting sign. I got my extra no soliciting sign.
Saw that.
Says, no anything. Don't come here with politics, religion, anything. I'm just angry, get off my lawn, motherfucker these days.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling my neighbor, I'm like, is the sign tacky? She's like, I think I want to get a gun. I'm like, well, that's another way to handle it. All right. Well, you do your way. I was gonna start with signage. Start with that.
Get a sign that says these premises protected by Smith and Wesson.
Mm-hmm.
I always like those.
Yeah, that's some real macho bullshit.
Just put them in the back of their mind. Hey, there may or may not be a loaded gun in this house, so proceed with caution.
Yeah,
criminals.
Tell people to be like, I can see they're not home. Let's go break in and get that gun.
Shredding?
I rode my bike. I didn't watch any debates, didn't watch any politics. Mm-hmm. Try to just stay away from it for my own mental well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Hidden back on the road.
Mm-hmm.
To tell my jokes.
Yeah.
And it's been all right outside of the world ending.
Yeah.
It's been okay.
That's true.
Outside the culling of the herd that's happening. I'm trying to make a joke. Like, man, it's a bummer. We're all going to get coronavirus before we can fight in the class war.
Had a good cinnamon roll this week.
Well, shit. Here's some. Here's the big news.
Yeah.
Here's the headline.
I feel like cinnamon rolls overlooked.
It's a overlooking lot. Cinnamon rolls.
Oh man, it's the best of both worlds. It's sweet and it's carbs. Sweet carbs. Oh boy.
Where'd you go?
Cinnabon. Got a this diner I was telling you about near my house, Park Pantry.
Yeah.
Just a really great, cute little diner, and homemade big ass. Cat head cinnamon rolls, just in the
cat head.
Just, well, that's the term usually with biscuits. Cat head biscuit is a biscuit the size of a cat head, cat's head. Yeah, oh, it's a southern term.
Really?
Yeah. if you like the cat head biscuits, you should try the dead possum cornbread.
that's one way to do it.
Yeah, but oh man, I just forgot about cinnamon rolls. I forgot how much fun they are.
Yeah, it's not a usual choice for an adult man. Sit down with a fork and knife cinnamon roll. I mean, hey, we all give in to the Cinnabon once in a while.
Yeah.
You're like, you see it, you're like, yeah. Why wouldn't I? Oh, because I'll die.
It's like that old Louis had that old bit about he had a Cinnabon at the airport where he arrived.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm 20 minutes away from my home where I got apples and bananas and shit.
Yeah, I got one when I landed.
Oh, man, I had a good burger this week. You know, have I talked to you about my newfound love of the indie burger joint?
Do we talk about ghosts or anything anymore?
We'll get to it. All you right. just calm
no,
down.
No, I'm saying. I
got important shit to talk
no,
about.
No, I know, but normally even I ask you, I'm like, yeah. What are we talking about this week? And this one, I'm like, I didn't even.
Oh, I got
whatever,
some,
man.
We'll get to it. But like when I lived in L.A., you turned me on to Astro Burger. Mm-hmm. But that was about the only one I would ever go to, especially if you go over to like Glendale. On every block, there's the charbroiled.
Yeah, blah, blah. Just burger stands.
Yeah. And a lot of them, though, I think what turned me off is a lot of the signs. There's one in Burbank that says something like charbroiled burgers, pastrami, and chicken bowls. Like,
yep.
Okay.
They're making just, dirty meat.
Yeah. But it's burgers, pastrami, great. And chicken bowl. Hey, y'all got chicken bowls? Okay, what about pastrami? So I just always thought that those weren't very, like, I'm not interested.
They're going to be great.
But, oh boy, I found one in Long Beach. Louis Burgers, the third one. I don't know. Dude, so good. Set up just like a regular fast food place, but it's just a little mom and pop. Even got a drive through.
Yeah, I got Rick's over here. Man. Just dirty burgers, man.
Yeah, dirty burgers. Got another one called Golden Burger I checked out. Oh, man. Big fan.
Yeah, L.A. is real good for just old-fashioned, like, burger stands that are not – because, like, where I grew up, like, there was, like, the – in the industrial area, and we had a lot of, like, warehouses where I was at. And so there was a lot of the go-to lunch spots for the factory workers, warehouse workers. And it was functional but never great.
Well,
here it's not a gourmet burger, but it's like the best version of that trash burger you can get.
Yeah.
You don't get the pastrami on the burger?
No, that just seems – I like pastrami so much that it just seems like they're masking each other. They're canceling each other out.
I had one once years ago at a place called Super Sub off Western Avenue, and we were all shit-faced. You get Pizza Puff. That's an old Chicago thing. I didn't realize that was a Chicago thing, Pizza Puff.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
That's
sounds made up.
Junior high. It's just like a Hot Pocket.
Deep-fried
Hot Pocket Pizza Puff. And drunk, ate that, and crashed in my buddy's place and woke up. Biggest boner I've ever had in my life.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know what, like, if I was dying and my body was just trying to pump more blood everywhere it could.
Huh.
Massive hard-on.
Wow.
Like, I'm like, is this part of death?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, that's my story about pastrami burgers.
If I have erection that lasts longer than 4 hours, I'm calling every woman I know.
Classic bits.
Probably a billing ball joke.
Oh, fuck, man. I had a tweet, but I was like, I do not make any joke. Coronavirus, but the beer. Shut up.
Who got the Modelo virus?
Two people on a show I was on.
No.
Two people. Corona should be called. Shut the fuck.
Are you serious?
Study comedy. And I don't mean study, go through the annals of history of comedy. I mean, watch the show that you're on and see if somebody makes that shit joke already. It was Some unstellar examples of comedy that I witnessed this week.
Speaking of burgers, Carl's Jr., have you heard about the BFC?
Speaking of, what's that stand for? Butt fuck chicken? Classic stuff. Hey, you like your chicken fried, deep fried, or butt fuck?
Study comedy.
Yeah, let me tell you about how comedy works. What's that stand for? Butt fuck chicken?
Carl's Jr.'s BFC, big fried cheese. It's just a big disc of fried cheese on top of the regular burger. Just, okay. Like,
have you tried this?
No. But like, even I'm like, fine, take it easy. Carl's Jr.'s the worst. They're just
I started going back because they had the Impossible Burgers. Yeah. Which, and you know what? In their defense, I forgot that they did like it did look like lettuce and tomato that they put on there that moment and not just something sitting around.
Well, that's nice. That's nice.
I like lettuce and tomatoes.
Yeah. I like it too.
You want a big piece of fried cheese?
Just, they're putting, fuck, somebody's putting, I saw something, they're putting chicken nuggets in there and fried cheese.
Real arms race.
Fucking Philly cheese beef. And just make a great burger. Just make a solid burger. You don't have to. It's my same thoughts are with pizza. You don't have to put a bunch of crazy shit on there. If it's just good, just make a good pizza.
But that's what's fun about pizza. You pick and choose your toppings.
Well, a traditional topping. I don't need fucking asparagus and goddamn cauliflower and shit on
there.
Try
it out, man.
Nah, not going to do it. All right. You want to get into a topic?
You put weird shit in your chili? You want to let somebody put asparagus on their pizza?
No, not at all. No. Because you eat too much asparagus and then your pee tastes funny. That's not my joke. That's forgot. Karen. Carol named Karen in Atlanta had a great joke like that. Yeah. Your pee tastes funny.
It's a Randy Liedtke joke about pineapple's supposed to make your sperm taste better. He's like, I don't know, I've been drinking it for weeks. I haven't noticed a difference.
He drinks sperm.
Ah.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
Let's get into a topic here, Ding Dong.
Yeah, what are we, what kind of bullshit are we talking about today?
You ever heard of John Titor? Titor? T-I-T-O-R.
T-I-T-O-R.
Nobody knows the proper pronunciation because no one's heard this guy speak.
Is that the mystery?
John Titor. I may have mentioned him years ago when we talked about time travel. John Titor is a dude who popped up on the internet back in early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Actually in 98, he showed up on the Art Bell Show, Coast to Coast, which you used to be a fan of. Now it's just,
I mean,
just
maybe
a circus.
In the Art Bell days, but nowadays it's...
Yeah, I liked Art Bell. Back in 98, the Art Bell, you know, Coast to Coast AM, he had this thing called Open Timelines, where people would call in and talk about how they were time travelers. Well, when was it? I think June, maybe? Anyway, sometime in 98, he got a fax, because that's how you tell this guy's from the future. John Titor... July 29th, 1998. I'm going to read the facts. They've kind of condensed it. Dear Art, I had the facts when I heard other time travelers calling in from any time past the year 2500 AD. Please let me explain. Time travel was invented in 2034. Offshoots of certain successful fusion reactor research allowed scientists at CERN to produce the world's first contained singularity engine. The basic design involves rotating singularities inside a magnetic field. By altering the speed and direction of rotation, you can travel both forward and backward, blah, blah, blah. Time itself can be understood in terms of connected lines. When you go back in time, you travel on your original timeline. When you turn the singularity engine off, a new timeline is created due to the fact that you and your time machine are now there. It goes on. I don't know. Unfortunately, it was also discovered that anyone going forward in time from my year of 2036 hit a brick wall in the year 2564. Please pray that we discover the reason why there is no apparent future after 2564. Anyway, that's the first fax that Art Bell received and read on Coast to Coast back in 98. Then back in 2000, a couple years later, you can do the math, he started showing up on Art Bell's chat rooms. And I think for about a year, he dropped a lot of messages there on the chat rooms. And basically just talking about how he was a time traveler. And he's from, like I said, from 2036. He's a time traveler working for the military. And his mission was he was sent back to 1975. Sent back to 1975 to grab a computer. This specific computer, I don't have that. Mm-hmm. I lost that note in front of me. But a certain computer, the Commodore 5100 maybe, because one would say, well, why would somebody from the future give a shit about an old crappy computer from the 70s? There's some coding mechanism, some unknown feature of this computer that the public didn't know about and even a lot of computer folks didn't know about. But there was some coding mechanism that would be beneficial to shit they were working on in 2036. So the mystery is this guy legit or was he an internet hoax? And he did make several predictions. Many did not come true, but then there's some explanations as to why maybe they didn't come true, and we'll get into that a little bit. Oh, yeah, the computer 5100, IBM 5100 was one of the first portable computers. The 5100 hit the market in 1975. It weighed 55 pounds and supported an internal 5-inch CRT monitor. He had to go back and retrieve this thing. Here's his facts regarding that. The 5100 had a very simple and unique feature that IBM did not account for and decided it was not in their best interest to advertise, which in hindsight was not very smart. This accidental feature was thus removed from any future desktop computers. In order to take advantage of this feature, the 5100 I have now required a couple of special tweaks that had to be done by one of the software engineers back in 75. Anyone who is familiar with this feature and was told to keep their mouth shut, and it will be able to tell you I will be able to tell you what it is. Yes, we still have toilet tissue, and some people still suffer from extreme anal fixation. I don't know what that last part was supposed to mean.
That's the only part I heard.
Yeah, I think that – I don't know if that was him trying to be funny. Yes, we still have toilet tissue, and some people still – I don't know.
In the future, people are into butt stuff?
I guess. Maybe that's what he's saying.
Butt-fuck chicken. It's all coming together. He predicted the butt-fuck.
The old butt-fuck chicken.
All right. So
he talks about his time machine. He later faxed in a sketch of the time machine. Here's what he says about his time machine. The means by which I travel in time is very physical. I require a, quote, machine to do it. It weighs about 500 pounds. It gets quite hot. I do not own it, and I did not build it. Within limits, I will be happy to discuss how it works and how future science thinks time works. So, sent some faxes, then started showing up on the message boards, and people are like, hey, man. Oh, and I got some – we're going to get to some real wacky shit here in a few minutes.
Oh, we're going to get to wacky stuff.
Yeah, the real wacky
shit. Outside of this guy, this ass party time traveler.
Let me throw you a couple of predictions that he made. By the way, he gave a caveat saying that I forget how he phrased it, but I'm not smart enough to understand how time travel works. I know that's shocking. But when you time travel, there's a 2.5% chance that you are going to travel on a slightly different timeline. So He gave that caveat, some think, as an excuse, as a way to justify any incorrect predictions. Like, oh, well, I told – divergent. Yeah, 2.5% chance that you're going to – that your timeline's going to diverge a little bit than what the one you're on, the reality of the one that we are on.
Well, isn't that the fault with time travel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's how that's connected.
This is going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll change that.
Mm-hmm.
Your very presence as a time traveler affects the future from which you came.
Yeah. That's why it's so tricky.
Damn tricky time travel.
here's some predictions that he made. Not predictions per se. These are just, this is not a prediction in the sense that he's like, no, I lived the future and this is what's going to happen. He said a world war is going to break out in 2015, killing nearly 3 billion people. He said that back in November of 2000.
One.
Yeah. According to a story... He began his journey in 2036. He grew up in Florida. He experienced both domestic conflict in the form of a civil war. He said there was going to be a civil war in 2005, and followed by a worldwide nuclear war in 2015. He said the effects of these conflicts would be disastrous, and much of his story involved his contempt for people of our time period. His dystopian future, he thought, could have been avoided. Yeah. So he said... 3 billion people were going to die in a world war back in 2015. Obviously, that did not happen. Let's see. What else? Oh, the Iraq War. Now, this is interesting. He said, I'm trying to find his exact quote here.
You know the guy from one of the guys from the band House of Pain quit rapping and bought the house that the Outsiders was filmed in? And
Everlast?
No, the other guy.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm trying to pepper.
What's that got to do?
I'm nothing. I'm just peppering you, dicking around on Wikipedia with some facts, with some real facts. He bought the house from the Outsiders, and it's a museum.
Oh, okay. Well, how about that? Anyway. He said that.
Back to you, Dave. I just come in with like a human interest story.
Okay, here's his quote. None of the things I've said will be a surprise. They were set into motion 10, 20, even 30 years ago. Are you really surprised to find out that Iraq has nukes now? Or is that just BS to whip everyone up into accepting the next war? Back in February of 2001, he predicted that the U.S. would be involved in a war with Iraq, which that did indeed happen, as we all know, back in was that March of 2003 is when we, hey, bin Laden in Afghanistan is responsible, so let's go get Iraq. Still never understood that. So, yeah, I mean, some of his details are a little fuzzy, but 2 years before we invaded Iraq, he predicted that we would do that. So that's pretty interesting. He predicted that the Olympics would no longer be around. He said, as a result of many conflicts, there were no official Olympics after the year 2004. Obviously, that is not true. He says, however, it does appear that they revived the Olympics in 2040. So he said there'd be about a 36-year period where there'd be no Olympics.
When did they start splitting up the Olympics to alternate years?
What do you mean, like the winter and the summer games?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't keep up with
that. Was that in 2004?
Oh, no. Long before that. Yeah.
That they started staggering it every 2 years?
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I feel like that's been that way since I can remember.
No.
Really? You're saying...
No, it used to be the same year. They had Winter and Summer Olympics in the same year.
Huh.
And then eventually they had split it... Oh, I'm trying to find out. When that happened, I'm looking it up.
Although stretching to make his, prediction come true, some people think that, the 2020 games this summer are supposed to be held in Tokyo.
Since 1992 is when they stopped.
Okay, yeah.
Stop doing them.
All okay. Right. Obviously, Olympics coming up this summer in Tokyo, and some people think that, well, there's already been speculation that the coronavirus might hamper or completely cancel those Olympic Games.
And I mean, Olympics are like, it used to be this whole, the show of strength, and that, Russia got, their whole team got canceled for doping. The Olympics are horrible for the city that they have them in.
Yeah.
You build all this shit for this influx of people for a brief amount of time. Then they leave. You just have all these empty buildings. that everybody paid for, like a bit of money at the time, but then long term, it's terrible for the cities. Mm-hmm. Like I could see people changing the format entirely.
Speaking of which, did I ever tell you
have one Olympic area every 4 years? Bring the athletes to that area instead of destroying a city around the globe.
That's
every
true.
4 years.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you I was in the exact location of the Olympic Park bombing 24 hours before that happened?
Really? Was at Stone Mountain, right?
Centennial Olympic Park, downtown Atlanta. I was right there where it happened. Really? Literally, I was there the night before. The same part, fucking around.
Was that what the movie came out about?
Yeah, Richard Jewell.
What was the movie? They just thought he did it?
Yeah, they thought he did it, and ultimately he was cleared, but like they
ruined know who did it?
They know who did it. Eric Robert Rudolph. Yeah, you know, Eric Robert Rudolph. He was this.
Robert Rudolph?
He was this white supremacist, right wing nut. He blew up an abortion clinic in Birmingham, Alabama. He set a bomb at a lesbian nightclub in Atlanta, and he's the one that was responsible for that. Then he went and hid in the Appalachian Mountains for like 4 years. He was just living in the mountains before they finally caught him digging in a dumpster.
But yeah. Oh, I do remember hearing about
that. Robert Rudolph.
What happened with Richard Jewell?
Richard Jewell, for the first several months, they thought he did it because he's the one that found the bomb and called it in.
Yeah, and then they.
So he went from hero to suspect to ultimately being cleared.
Mm.
But yeah, he was just like a small town cop in North Georgia and was doing like security detail, like extra moonlight security detail during the Olympics.
Yeah.
He found the bomb and. And then, like a week later, everybody's like, "He did it." Much like Nostradamus in last week's episode, old Teeter gave some vague predictions. He talks about Russia and China. He says, "Quote: Russia and China have always had a very strange relationship. Even the news I see now indicates that continued weapons deals to allies, border clashes, and overpopulation will lead to hostilities. The West will become very unstable, which gives China the confidence to expand." He said that in 2001. You know,
that's the problem. If you're a time traveler right now, you can come back and tell me what happens next week.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do vague shit. If you're a real time traveler, and it doesn't have to be some sweeping, like we were just saying last time.
Tell me who won the Super Bowl.
Just some basic shit if you knew it. It's not, if you're a time traveler, maybe it's a government thing, but you would be on such secret lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're a time traveler, and you know what happens in the future, you come back here and it's not, no. And fucking facts. He faxed his predictions from the future.
Okay. Now I got some really crazy shit for you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Donald Trump may or may not be a time traveler.
He's not.
Okay. Here's the story. Here's the theory.
All right.
Donald, old President Trump, he had an uncle, a guy named George John Trump. And he was a well-known scientist and MIT professor.
Really?
Yeah.
Some brains in it?
Yeah, shocking. He's the one who examined the notes of Nikola Tesla after his death in 1891. Tesla had been branded as quite mad for his work in anti-gravity, invisibility, and time travel. Well, old George Trump, he was called upon by the FBI to look into Tesla's work after his death to see if any of his work would be valuable to our military. So old George, I don't know exactly when he was doing this, but old George Trump, he looked into it, and he reported that there was, in fact, no useful information in Tesla's notebooks, and he had some blueprints and stuff like that. So the conspiracy claims that he found some sort of blueprint for a time travel machine, and then old George Trump took it upon himself to build it. The theory is that George built the time machine, gave it to Donald, his nephew, just before George's death in 1985. Donald Trump then used the machine to travel to the future and back again under the name John Titor. I'm sorry, I missed that part. Not just Donald Trump's a time traveler. Donald Trump is John Titor. Legend has it that Donald Trump used a time machine to generate his family's fortune and use the subsequent power that came with that to run for president. His desperation to prevent a nuclear war is perhaps a key.
Where are you reading this?
On the internet.
Which part?
Well, there's all kinds of stuff in here.
There's something that, what's in the address bar?
Well, these are my notes that I pulled from all of them. Oh. These are my handwritten notes.
We're not even citing any sources.
Yeah.
Classic conspiracy theorist.
Where was I?
Right at the facts. He stopped right.
Not saying these are facts. I'm saying this is a theory that's floating around.
You're right
there.
In the middle of the thing that made total sense. That's
fucking entertainment. Okay. Damn it. So you
Donald Trump is an articulate liar named John Titor, who faxed predictions. Trump's not.
Okay. And one of the theories is, you know how. Well, Trump is so confident.
He can't stop talking out his ass to save his life.
He's an expert on everything, right? According to him. This is a quote from Trump. I know more about ISIS than the officials do. Believe me. You know, he's always saying, I know the most about this. I know the most.
He's an asshole.
Well, of course, but maybe he went to the future and he learned some shit and came back.
No, he didn't.
This is interesting, okay? There's this guy named Ingersoll Lockwood. This guy was an author in the late 1800s. We may have spoken about this.
Ingersoll
Lockwood. He was an author in the late 1800s. He wrote a few science fiction fantasy novels. The first one, in relevance to this, was called Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey. That's the name of it. Published in 1893. The second one was titled 1900 or The Last President. In the first novel, the Baron in the title refers to the fact that the titular character is a Baron. That wasn't necessarily his name. His actual name in the character's name was Wilhelm Heinrich Sebastian von Trump, T-R-O-O-M-P.
That's a handle.
Get this. This Baron Trump character, he's a young boy who lives in Castle Trump. Could that be the White House? He travels to Russia, of all places, to find a portal to another dimension. When he gets there, he follows the instructions provided by a man named Don. Okay? So, I don't know what old Ingersoll Lockwood.
Ingersoll.
I-N-G-E-R-S-O-L-L. Ingersoll Lockwood. Get this. In the other book, 1900 or The Last President, Lockwood depicts New York City in November when an election gone awry as an outsider wins the U.S. presidential election. The book even has a reference to Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue. On page 5, quote, the Fifth Avenue Hotel will be the first to feel the fury of the mob. Could that be in reference to, you know, some of the first protests against Trump were outside of Trump Towers there on Fifth Avenue. The second book details the story of an uprising of Americans who deny the results of the presidential election. Now, you got to admit, that's kind of fucking weird.
Snopes is saying it's a mostly true thing about the
Ingersoll?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The connection to Nikola, the uncle being knowing Tesla and...
I mean, that's pretty bizarre.
Both books are archived in the Library of Congress, according to Snopes, and can be read in full on archive.org. That's a little fucking...
I mean, that's weird.
All right, now we got to a thing here.
See?
What is this?
Thank you.
This is a weird one. Well, yeah, we had to fucking knee-deep through a bunch of bullshit till we got to
it. Well, that's the process. So, yeah, John Titor... Faxed Art Bell in 98, made a bunch of online post 2000-2001. Some of this shit was pretty vague and incorrect. Some of it could be interpreted as being true. Interpreted. Yeah, I could speak. And then that whole 2.5% divergence, that's the defenders of Titor lean heavily on that. Like, well, you know. But 2.5% is not much. Does that mean how about another 97.5% of truth, or of accuracy? I don't see that anywhere. So,
I mean, you know, I think the meat in this sandwich I think the pastrami, the boner-inducing pastrami burger of this sandwich is this Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey book.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty bizarre, right?
Yeah, they're explaining some stuff like, oh, a man named Don. Well, because Don is in Spanish is like sir.
Uh-huh.
You know, Don Julio, Don Corley, like the one that's
intense. But he lived in the, quote, the Castle Trump.
Yeah, talking about, you know, he's...
He traveled to
Fifth
Russia.
Fifth Avenue Hotel.
Traveled to Russia. That's nuts.
Yeah.
I got to find the guy.
Yeah, this one's a little weird. This one's okay.
I was trying to find the guy. I can't remember his name. I guess I could have just fucking listened to our own episode, but I didn't think to do that. But I did speak when we were talking about this a few years ago.
I'm not listening to you right now.
There was a guy. There was a guy who was like, there was video of this dude who was very well spoken, seemed very intelligent. He was, and he was like, I traveled all over time, and he gives
is
all
the
these.
Guy that was in the court, wasn't that a Valiant Thor, or is he
no,
an
it's
alien?
A different guy. That's an alien. Yeah.
Oh, he's an alien, yeah, not a time traveler. No. My mistake.
Exactly. But no, I can't remember this guy's name. I'll find it and talk about it next week. But anyway, this dude, there's a lot of video of this guy just talking, like, you talk about details. He's given really specific, like, geographical details about the future. He's talking about, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, yeah, in the year 2145, the coast of Georgia will be, you know, Georgia and Florida will be gone. He just talks about what the geography was like in the future. And, like, a lot of it is pretty, you know, ominous. Like, just all the certain states have disappeared. They're now, Georgia's now underwater. California's gone. Arizona's the West Coast. And shit like that.
Good.
Yeah. But this guy, like, seemed pretty credible. Like, he was very well spoken, a lot of details. And this guy's just, oh, man, he's the dude. It's all starting to click now. He's not the guy that not to be confused with the guy who crawled underneath his kitchen sink and went into a portal and met his older self. There's another story about that guy. Some Russian dude was fixing his sink. He fell into a portal, and he met the 70-year-old version of himself. And there's a YouTube
That's
video of those two guys.
Super Mario. This is the plumber that found another dimension. Stupid. So stupid, man.
Oh, God.
I met my long-lost brother. He was wearing green. I was wearing red. Fucking ridiculous.
There is a YouTube video of that one, though, of this guy. These two dudes standing next to each other, and one guy's like 70 and one guy's like 35. And, I mean, they both have like bald-shaved heads, and they're the same height and build. But like, he's like, this is me in the future.
Yeah, there's only
like,
so
and oh, they had the same tattoo. Even though the old guy's tattoo looks new, it doesn't look faded.
No, so we got to do a better job at sniffing out some of this stuff. Oh, boy.
But yeah, man. I'm still fascinated with this topic. This is one of the topics when we first started this podcast. It was one of those where I was like, no way. Like, I never gave it any credibility. To me, it was always science fiction. And then the more you look into time travel, like, you know, I'm not smart enough to articulate the science behind it, but it has something to do with wormholes and black holes and parallel universes.
Butthole.
And, you know, but it could be. And then, of course, the whole concept that, you know, some of the UFOs that we're seeing nowadays aren't from other planets or galaxies, but maybe just humans from the future. So that's pretty fucking intriguing.
I don't know how they would corral the outcome of people knowing that time travel is real. Like, oh, there's a disaster coming, so people would try to prevent the disaster. But maybe that would like, but that is how it's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, also Teeter talks about. Well, he addresses that in. And again, I don't quite understand, but he's basically saying, who's to say that me and other time travelers haven't gone back and prevented disasters from happening that you never even heard about or knew about because they didn't happen? You know, for example, he
some chaos is going to happen, is inevitable.
Yeah.
But.
There's some speculation that he had something to do with the Y2K thing, because early on he predicted that the Y2K was, like a lot of people thought, was going to be disastrous. And then, as we know, nothing really happened. And I think there was some article talking about how he was kind of vaguely taking credit for that. Like, yeah, it didn't happen because I went back and I altered it, and you're welcome.
I thought people just fixed their systems.
I mean, whatever they were initially concerned about, yeah, you know, didn't happen. And he's saying, yeah, it didn't happen because I fixed it. But, you know, that's an interesting concept about the things that, you know, like he predicted that there was going to be a world war in 2015. Maybe we were on that path, and maybe a time traveler came back and tweaked a few things and boom, bullet dodged. You ever think of that shit, huh?
No, I didn't. Thanks, time travelers, for saving us from what should be worse. Maybe the world is supposed to be worse if it's just up to humans in the present to deal with it. And these time travelers are like, oh, goddamn, we got to go back. I'm more fascinated with, like, just the technology, what we can do, but should we be doing it? That's where I'm interested in, the AI and what's developing and how that's going to create this, maybe not time travel, but a very dystopian future. Just, you know, robot chefs, buddy.
Robot everything. That's why Andrew Yang was going to give us all $1,000 a month. Let the robots figure it out.
Now, that's what he's going to do?
Yeah.
$1,000 a month?
Yeah, universal basic income. He's going to give every American $1,000 a month because he's like, the singularity's coming.
Yeah.
Pretty soon we're all going to be out of work. So we got to have income somehow.
Yeah. Fucking Bloomberg. Like, they say, like looking at a list of things Bloomberg could have just fixed outright
with his money?
With what he spent on his stupid campaign.
Like, what did they say?
Just like Flint could add clean water. It was like $500-600 million.
Yeah, $500 million. That. He was in the race for like a month.
And somebody else was saying, like, well, he was mayor of New York, and New York did well under his leadership. And it's like, you know.
Did you hear him? There was a clip surfaced a few weeks ago about him defending his, you know, about stop and frisk?
Oh, yeah.
He was defending that on a radio show a couple years ago. And I'm paraphrasing, but he basically was like, you know, I think actually we didn't stop enough minorities. We stopped too many whites. He's basically saying that it didn't work how he wanted it to. Too many whites were getting stopped in Frisco, not enough minorities.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Oh, buddy.
Sorry, Bloomy.
Those are bad optics.
Bad optics. I can't talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
What else? Is time travel real, Dave? Yes or no?
Yes.
It's real.
Mm-hmm.
They're amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
They walk among us.
Yeah. And we talked about that last time, but there's several examples of, like, people just being out of place. And there's some story. I don't have all the – I can't remember all the details. But, like, one guy, a dead guy they found in New York City back in the 40s, and he had a passport from, like, a country no one's ever heard of, but it all looked very official. And
That's a good long-term prank, is getting buried with something that'll mess with people if they dig you up.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
And then there's, like, some of these weird YouTube videos. There's a special features in a Charlie Chaplin movie from the 20s where there's an old lady walking by the camera, and it looks like she's talking on a cell phone.
No, I read like about that one. It's not. It's people hard of hearing had tiny horns that you would put in your ear so you could hear things. Yeah. That's what that was.
There's another one of some hipster back in the 40s. I think it was the 30s or 40s or some ribbon cutting for some new building or something. Yeah. It's all these pictures. A wide shot of, but you can see about 50 people gathered, and everybody's got the typical 1940s garb. Yeah. And then there's a guy who looks like he's from like the 90s. He's got like a screen printed t-shirt. Those weren't invented. He's got like weird modern haircut, modern sunglasses. There's shit like that floating around out there. There's in a Mike Tyson fight back in the 90s. I think we talked about this, but in the background, there's a guy holding up what looks exactly like an iPhone. Like, even when they zoom in, like, it looks like an iPhone from like 93. It's like, yeah, those weren't around yet.
That's a supreme level of trolling, is just putting out, like doing the long, like the Toynbee tiles of just like a long term, like sitting on a prank. Like, here's a doctored photo and just let the internet, like, yeah, just sitting there making those all day. And
yeah. Seeing,
that's the thing. There's people out there that are just in it to fuck with people.
Yeah.
Just in there to troll and just see these little pranks and things and see if they have legs. So that's, unfortunately, I think that undermines a lot of the stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I still count up to, like, as much as the internet is a beautiful tool to bring us all together, it has also created a whole realm of, and again, they talk about deep fakes and everything. That's the technology of, like, be wary of everything.
Yeah.
Now it's not just like, oh, believe half of what you read, none of what you, or half of what you see and none of what you read or whatever. Now it's like how can you trust any source? How can you, like, they have classes now to teach you to spot fake news and how to understand if something's misinformation.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, that's the part that gets real scary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, election year. Well, this is a fake video. This is a real video. This is a fake. How are you going to determine this?
That's true. And, you know, I'm guilty of that too. I'll see something or read something like, fuck that guy, you know. Yeah. And then you're like, well, how do you know it's what you're reading is
knee
true?
Jerk reaction to, like, the 10 second video clip of, like, somebody reposted, like, this is police brutality, and you see a cop chase, somebody's just walking and a cop runs up and pushes him over.
Yeah. Let's see.
But it's 30 seconds. I'm like,
let's see what happened before that.
Yeah, tell me who that guy is. Why, you know, there's no context and we react to stupid little snippets.
Yeah.
I was walking with Rachel to UCB last night, and some lady's walking by with purpose on the sidewalk, and she gets close, and her face is all beat up, and she's got a bottle of booze in her hand. Mm-hmm. But walking with purpose, not like stumbling, like, I need help, like, either fought somebody for that booze or what. But Rachel, she's like, why don't, not in that particular sense, but in general, like, why don't we help that? It's like, you never know what some, you see two people fighting, you have no idea who's the good guy, who's the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, yeah, you see one person getting the shit kicked out of him by 10 people. It's like, all right, whoa, hold on. Call it, this is fucked up. What's going on here? But who knows if it's 10 guys going, oh, that's the guy that, you know, assaulted my sister, and they're going to beat the shit out of him. And
yeah.
Again, I'm not a judge or jury, but if, like, yeah, all right. Some cases of street justice going down. Like, yeah, all right. Hey. I don't know where I'm going with this thing.
That's all right, buddy. Got a recipe for you.
All right. Give him a recipe.
St. Paddy's Day coming up. Got some corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah.
I did a trial run on this a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And I made it before, but I was just practicing last week. If you want to make some original corned beef and cabbage, this time of year, most grocery stores sell corned beef, the raw brisket. Corned beef is basically brisket, but you can buy it in a pack in the meat counter that's already in the brining solution. So just look for just a prepackaged thing, but it's in the raw meat counter. Usually about a 3-pound brisket floating in some solution. It comes with a little pack of spices. So
real test tube baby over here.
But here's what you do. You get you that brisket. You take it out of the pack and get you a big Dutch oven or roasting pan or something. And I don't have all my notes in front of me. I think I did 350. Preheat your oven to 350, but before it goes in the oven, you want to sear that shit off. So take your, roasting pan. I don't know. It's great for searing, but a Dutch oven, you could do it. If you've got a roasting pan, sear it in a frying pan, but just real high heat, a little bit of oil, and, 30 seconds on all sides. Just want to get it brown, get it toasty, 30, 60 seconds searing on all sides. All right. Then throw it in your Dutch oven and throw that little spice pack in there. And then you want to get you could use water. You could use beef stock. I used beer. I got some Guinness Stout. Not the Guinness Draft, right. But I got the Guinness Stout. And get whatever beer you want. Probably a darker, you know, like a Guinness or a brown or even an amber ale, something like that. And pour enough beer in there to where it covers about 3/4 of the chunk of meat. You don't want it completely submerged. But yeah, about 3/4 of it in there. You could throw in some garlic cloves. You could throw in some bay leaves. You could throw in a little cumin, a little salt and pepper, whatever you want. 350 for about 3 hours. Check on it. It might take 4 hours. But you're basically braising it. Oh, yeah. With the Dutch oven, if you either put the top on or wrap it in foil, throw it in the oven 3 or 4 hours at about 350. About 20 minutes before it's done. Get you a whole head of cabbage. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, everybody likes it differently. You could quarter and eighth it if you want. I like to shred it, like a thick shred, not a fine shred like you would
thick
have.
Thick shred,
a,
bro.
A thick shred. You know, about a half inch to an inch shred.
I love cabbage. A little salt and pepper
yeah.
and cabbage.
Yeah.
Rated.
Yeah. Get you a whole cabbage, thick shred. Throw it
lettuce
into,
is out of shape cousin.
Exactly. Throw it into a frying pan with a little olive oil. Saute that shit up. Slice up a white or yellow onion. Throw that in there too. A little salt and pepper. Maybe a little smoked paprika. And you're just sauteing. It'll take about 10 minutes till it gets nice and limp. Limp and tender. And yeah, and then when you pull the corned beef out, take it out and kind of cut it up however you please, and then serve it with that thick shredded cabbage and onions. And oh boy, there you go, you got corned beef and cabbage. It's a good time.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, man. Doing anything for St. Patty's Day? You're going to be on the road.
When is it? Where am I?
The 17th. Next
no,
Tuesday.
I'm back. Okay. No, the Flogging Molly's doing a big old thing over at Palladium.
Oh, right.
I might bang around there a little bit.
I'm looking forward to your annual.
We'll see.
Annual tweet.
Yeah, I've been trying to think about them. I'll do a comic of the week. I'll throw it to old Matt Bronger.
He was the one I had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old Matty Bronger's new album.
Please hold me.
Should be called Fat Donger.
Oh, watch out.
That's his old chair. It's Matt. He's the best.
Big goofball.
Story about me almost getting him kicked out of the house he rented for his 40th birthday.
Oh, yeah? That's on the album?
Yeah. Hey, man, I don't know. I'm fun at parties.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, go check out Matt.
Matt Bronger, Please Hold Me. That's like his fifth, maybe? I think that's about his fifth hour.
I think he's got...
He's got Shovel Fighter. He's got Live in Portland.
He could about 3 or 4 out right now.
Yeah, something like that. Cool, man. Dates to plug. Where you at? Today is the 10th.
Tonight, Providence, Rhode Island. Tomorrow, Hamden, Connecticut. Thursday, Ithaca, New York. Friday, Saturday, Toronto, Ontario. With old Mikey Carrozza.
Mikey.
I'm going to have Jim Twos with me tomorrow night, Thursday night.
Right on.
I got Ray Harrington with me tonight.
Okay. Good job.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Well, cool, man. I'm heading out next week or two. In order, you can see me in Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Grand Rapids, Detroit, Kalamazoo, Cincinnati, Milwaukee, and wrapping it up in Chicago, April 2nd at North Bar. That's going to be fun. Man, Chicago crowd's always good to me, man.
Man.
Every time
I'm
there.
It's a good town.
Every time I'm there, they come out and super nice.
It's a
super nice folks.
Good town.
So, yeah, man, that's where you can find me. Specific dates and tickets at dumbdavestone.com. Patrons. Yeah, man. If you're not a patron, $4 a month. Just dropped another Dave's Record Room a week or two ago. You get the every month I either do a Dave's Record Room or a Dave's Kitchen. I either teach you how to cook some shit or I rant about records. And you also get the bonus Q&A episodes, $4 a month, tell a friend, patreon.com/boogiemonster. So there you go. Holler at your boys. Wash your hands. Don't cough on anybody.
Yeah, thick shred.
Thick shred, baby.
The Boogie Monster. Thank you.
Network.